May it please the court. When the legislature allowed Workers' Compensation Division ALJs to begin receiving their pensions at age 62 rather than age 65, was that a grant of extra compensation to Judge Sinhal, who was no longer an ALJ when the law was enacted? The court below said it was, and therefore that the legislation, Section 287.815, violated the state constitutional prohibition on legislative grants of extra compensation to public officers after service has been rendered. We believe that the court below erred because the statute did not create a grant. It didn't give Judge Sinhold anything extra. And we don't believe that the statute involves compensation.
But doesn't it actually give Mr. Sinhold $86,000 more because he receives these monthly annuities for 36 months earlier than he normally would have received them?
No question, Judge Sinhold gets more money.
So isn't that a grant of more money?
Judge Sinhold receives more money, but that doesn't mean that it's a grant of compensation by a legislature. And here's why. The argument on the word grant and the word compensation are really the same argument, and it's this. In order for there to be a grant of compensation, the legislature must appropriate money from general revenues. That's not what 287.815 would do. It simply directs the trustees of Moser's. Moser's is a trust fund, to pay money out of Moser's to certain people a little earlier than it would otherwise.
Well, then, under that same rationale, couldn't it increase the monthly annuity? I know a major point in the argument is that the amount of monthly payments remain the same. They simply begin earlier. But if anything in the trust fund does not count as paying additional compensation, he could get double or triple if Moser's happened to want to do that, and that would also not be a violation.
It would also not be a violation, Your Honor, if he got double or triple what?
Well, you're saying because it's paid out of the trust fund instead of out of general revenue, it can't be additional compensation. Am I understanding your argument?
That's right.
Does that take you too far? Because does that mean they could increase the amount he received in annuity benefits each month, too? Because, again, as long as it came out of the trust fund, it would not be additional compensation.
Well, that would lead into the argument. It could still be extra compensation. But to begin with, I don't think that there's no question, first of all, that Judge Sinhold is receiving more money. But that doesn't mean that it's a grant of compensation. And Moser's itself actually made this argument in the Pulitzer case in 1996. Moser's very carefully distinguished between general revenue money, out of which salaries and severance payments are paid, on one hand, and trust fund money, out of which pensions are paid.
So you look at the source of the funds.
That's right. You look at the source of the funds under Section 440, that sets out what the source of the Moser's funds is.
So let me get this straight, if I could. I think I see where you're going. If the retirement age is 65 and Sinhold starts drawing retirement, the legislature would be free to pass the law making the payment higher.
That's correct.
So what you're saying is, well, there's really no difference between that and moving the retirement age back from 65 to 62. Because, again, it's just authorizing payments out of the trust fund.
That's true.
So that's really your argument.
Well, no, my argument is this, is that the prohibition on the grant of extra compensation to a public officer does not apply to trust fund money. It only applies to general revenue.
And what is your authority for that position?
And the authority for that, Your Honor, is the argument, it's two things. It's the argument that Moser's itself made in the Pulitzer case when they distinguished between money that comes from general revenue and goes to pay for salaries and severance payments on one hand, and money that comes from the Moser's trust fund that goes to pay for pensions.
I know there's a number of cases the parties discuss in their briefs that deal with people who've already retired, and you distinguish those by saying here your client is not yet retired, and so those cases don't apply. But don't those cases prohibit increasing the retirement money? Wouldn't they have to be reversed if we were to accept your argument here?
Yeah, I mean, I think those cases can be distinguished on the facts. It's true that in this
but case... But in the argument you're making, they would have to be reversed if we were to adopt your position on the basis that trust fund monies are not affected by this.
That's true. That's what I'm arguing, Your Honor. It's based on the argument Moser made in Pulitzer, and also on the argument that the Arizona court made in the Cleese case we cite, where the court very carefully says there's on the one hand general revenue money, on the one hand money from trust,
fund. If all those cases in effect say it doesn't matter if it comes from the trust fund, or at least they didn't address and draw any distinction between the money coming from general or revenue or the trust fund, that's at least contrary authority to your argument. So what is your direct authority? Is the language you're saying what it meant, but is there something in interpreting that language you're relying on other than Moser's argument in a prior case? Is there a court decision that interprets it the way you're saying?
The court decision in the Arizona case, the McLeese case, interprets it exactly the way you're saying. There's no question, though, Your Honor, that there is authority in Missouri which is not helpful to our case. No question about it. In the Judge Cleveland case in 1975, the police retirement system against Kansas City case, those cases struck down grants of post-retirement increases in benefits. Now, those can be distinguished on their facts. For example, in Cleveland, Judge Cleveland was getting no pension to begin with. But I think the more important point is that the trend in the law across the country, as outlined in the Arizona case, is toward recognizing that money that comes from trust funds is different than money that comes from general revenue.
But doesn't it all originate with the general revenue?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
It originates with the general revenue, though.
Well, the most.
And if the trust fund gets too low, then the general revenue has to be increased to go into it.
Well, it's not all general revenue, though. And for employees of certain state agencies, there's no general revenue. There's dedicated funds. But the Moser's money under 104 of 436 comes from four different sources. Payroll deductions, deferred compensation, payments, and income from all sources. The income from all sources is far, far greater than any of the other types of income. The Moser's money simply is not general revenue for certain people, such as people who work for the Workers' Compensation Division, which is funded by a dedicated fund. There's no general revenue. So I acknowledge that there's authority in Missouri that is not helpful to our case. My argument is just the trend in the law is in favor of recognizing that money that doesn't come from general revenue, you've got to see what the source of the money is. The state prohibitions on the grants of extra compensation don't apply to that type of money.
Do any of the cases that are contrary authority directly address this issue, or does it appear not to have been raised, this distinction you're drawing?
Oh, no, it definitely addresses the issue in the Arizona case, the McLeese case.
No, the Missouri cases that you're saying are contrary authority, do I take it that in those cases this didn't come up, this distinction you're drawing?
So that's the difference between general revenue on the one hand and trust fund money on the other hand was never directly confronted by a Missouri court.
Do we even get to this argument? Your opponent raises the statutory language in section 287.845 that says the annuity for an administrative law judge is based on the law in effect at the time the administrative law judge's employment was terminated. Isn't that express language that precludes the argument that you're making?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. That there is no conflict between 287.815 287.815 and 287.845, because what that 287.845 is referring to is simply the method of the formula that's used to calculate the annuity, and that's set, and the only variables you need for that are the years of creditable service and average compensation.
So you're saying that the eligibility date is not part of the calculation?
That's correct. And Moser's did not cite any authority for that statement. I don't believe there's any conflict. Even if there were, I think the later law takes priority, but I don't think there's any conflict. I'd like to make a second argument, though, on the statute, on the constitutional language, and that's this. Even if there were a grant of compensation here, there's not a grant of extra compensation. Or at least on this record, Moser's hasn't demonstrated that there's a grant of extra compensation. Under the statute, every year Moser's has got to calculate the contribution, the employer contribution, that is necessary to fund the system, And the more money that Moses earns on his investments, the less money it needs as an employer contribution. Well, let's just assume, this isn't in the record, but let's just assume that Moses assumes, when it goes to calculate the employer contribution, that it's earning 8.5% on invested assets. But let's also assume that in reality, Moses earns 18.7% on his invested assets. And that the difference between what Moses actually earned in 2006, because it earned 18.7, and what it assumed it would earn, based on the 8.5 assumption, is $717 million. Well, looked at another way, that's $717 million more that the members of Moses have put in than they should have. So to the extent the legislature directs Moses to take some money that it currently has and to convey it to Judge Sinhold, that's not...
But then that kind of invades the quality of the trust, because a trustee, if I was a trustee, I'd say, well, that's good. I got $717 million. I have to have a reserve because, gee, it looks like the market's going down. I may not have. You can't have the legislature come and say, you've had a good year this year, so we're going to spend your money for you, and you're a trustee. And then another year, in the present market, you know, interest rates are going down. You may not have it. The trustees have an obligation to ensure the solvency and the payouts for you can't have the legislature say, we're going to take this money away from you now, and good luck when the market turns bad.
That's correct, Your Honor. And it's certainly better to be over reserved than under reserved. But suppose that every year.
Under reserved is a bad thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Under reserved is not having enough money to pay the pension.
Isn't the issue not how much you take from the state, but if you give the employee extra compensation? And so whether it comes from extra interest earned or some other source, if you pay it to them, isn't it extra compensation?
I don't think that it would be extra in that case. I think if Moses every year takes in much more, for each of the last 7 years, if it took in much more than it would have taken in based on the assumption that it made to collect the contribution, I don't think that there's extra compensation under this statute.
Thank you, counsel.
Is there some sacrosanct line between what the legislature could do, what the trustees can do? For example, let's say the legislature says if an official is punished, you can take their pension away. I mean, can the legislature interfere with the trustees do and their obligations to the pensioners?
First, let me say, Madam Chief Justice, Justices of the Court, my name is Alan Allred. I'm with Thompson Coburn, and I represent the Missouri State Employees Retirement System here today. And I'm asking you to uphold...
Sorry to interfere with your introduction. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Judge. And I'm asking you to uphold the decision of Judge Callahan in the Cole County Circuit Court granting summary judgment in favor of the Mosers. To answer your question, Judge, I think there are lines. And I think there's a clear line in this case set by the Constitution, which is the people's law. And that's what I believe this court is about, which is to enforce the people's law. And that's our state constitution.
The welfare of the people is the supreme law.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I want to say at the outset that this court, as you know, is sitting trial de novo regarding the summary judgment by Judge Callahan. And I want to address a couple of questions that were raised by Justice Wolf and Justice Breckinridge. There was no discussion at the trial court level with regard to this funds coming from somewhere else, trust funds or whatever. There's no record in the trial court. And under the Smith case cited in our brief and the Jones Company case, that's waived. But I'm going to touch on that because it was asked about. These monies are determined, and what the contribution rate has to be for your pension fund and the state employees' pension fund is determined by what is necessary by way of contributions based on actuarial studies. There is no pot of gold separately held aside for funds to be used for awards or treats to be handed out by the legislature. And specifically and very poignantly, the legislature cannot violate the state constitution. And that's what this case is about. Of course, as Judge Breckinridge referenced, you don't even need to get there. You can just look at 287.845, which is on point, very specific. I won't bore you to repeat what the judge read to the court and to the group assembled, but it says very clearly what determines the year or the age at which the pensioner, in this case the ALJ, can start receiving his pension. That's right on point. That has never been overturned. That's a state statute. It sits there.
Your opponent argues that the statute is limited to the formula for calculating the benefit, not to other laws that would be in effect. What's your response to that?
My response to that, Judge, is that if you somehow put aside that state statute, then you look at 39(3) and 38A of the Article 3 of our Constitution, and the fact that you or this court in 1975 issued two of your decisions on bank, State XRL Cleveland and the police system, retirement system versus Kansas City, which dealt right on tripping. The Cleveland case was a judge. I don't know how more on point they could have been. And the other case had to do with the same issues in the same sections of our Missouri Constitution, which I think are very clear as to what you can't do. And this is
going back to the statute, though, is the context of that statute, does it support his argument that it's only for the formula?
No, I don't think it does support
And can you repeat that language for us? I know you said you wouldn't, but if it would be helpful since we're talking about it.
This is 287.845, Section 1. The system, Moses, shall calculate the annuity for an administrative law judge or legal advisor as defined in Section 287.812 based on the law in effect at the time the administrative law judge's or legal advisor's employment was terminated.
Well, it does sound like it's talking about a numerical calculation, not a beginning or ending date.
Well,
it says shall calculate the annuity based on it, and that calculation is made the same way whenever it starts.
What happens, Judge, is that when an individual is coming on for their pension, to be eligible for their pension, to start receiving their pension, the personnel at Moser's start doing calculations based on the amount of service, the amount of time in service, and so forth. But the premise of determining at what point they can retire, their age, is based on the statute in effect.
But we're talking about this provision you just read, and it says shall calculate it based on years of service and what their pay was and so forth. And it doesn't talk about when it starts or ends. And if I understand correctly, some systems, I think, when you start drawing down your pension affects how much you get. But if I understand it, under Moser's, it doesn't. You get the same amount under that calculation regardless of when you start, don't you?
Well, you have to take into account, for example, as you know, there's a number of years that you served.
Yes, I know. But whether you retire at 62 or 65, depending on if you qualify for it, you get the same amount every month. The calculation is the same. Is that correct?
I think if I understand the question, Judge, it would depend upon the years of service and the amount of time and so forth.
Does that affect the eligibility for it, or does that affect the amount you receive? Those factors.
It would affect the eligibility.
What you read just says it affects the calculation. I mean, you have a number of arguments as to why you think this is inappropriate, but I'm not clear why that addresses the age at which you're eligible. It simply says it affects the calculation of the benefits by applying the formula that's set out therein, which doesn't seem to have an age of retirement as part of the calculation.
Well, Judge, I think that part of the process, as I said, knowing how it works inside the walls of Fort Moses, that is part of the process. You may interpret it that way. I respect that. That is what is looked at, the issue of how many years of service and so forth. You say, well, that's just a calculation. It has nothing to do with the age that you are when you're eligible for retirement pension. But even if you, as I say, I don't think you get there, because obviously the issue before Judge Gallagher was the constitutionality of this particular section, this amendment. And I think the constitutionality issue is the key issue here. Clearly under Section 39 and Section 38, this is an award, a granting of extra compensation, which if we do this, of course, it throws out decisions by this court. It also obviously goes to the funding of our state retirement system and going back and figuring out, okay, how are we going to pay for all these additional people that have additional years of now pension coming to them?
The 38A talks about you'll have no power to grant public money or property and so forth after the person has provided the service. And opposing counsel says we would not be doing that if we paid from the pension fund as opposed to from general revenue, and that's not something the prior cases have addressed. Can you address that argument?
I'd be pleased to. And as I said earlier, Justice Wolf raised this question as well. This was never raised at the trial court. There was absolutely no fact, no evidence before this court as to what counsel has told you in his oral argument. Nothing, none of this was raised before Judge Callahan. It's being raised for the first time. I submit to you that's waived. But the truth of the matter is, or the fact of the matter is, there is no pot of gold, as I said, that has special trust fund money that can be used for the awarding of extra compensation, or whatever you want to call it.
Is there something that addresses what's meant by grant public money or property? Has that been interpreted only to apply to general revenue, or has that been interpreted to apply to trust funds, or has it not been interpreted?
This court looked at the issue of extra compensation to judges in the Cleveland case. It looked at it in the case of police officers in the Kansas City police retirement case, and there was no distinction made there, because I submit to you there is no distinction. This is out of whole cloth now for the first time.
Is there
any recurring exposure you would have?
I haven't done the actuarial studies, Your Honor, but it seems to me if there's $86,000 of additional compensation going to this administrative law judge, that yes, Your Honor, it would impact, obviously, the actuarial studies.
Well, let me ask you this. If somebody's employed at age and has been in the system for a while and is an administrative law judge, is age 60, and this bill passes saying it's not 65 anymore, it's 62, does that violate the extra compensation provision? Person who's still in service.
Well, they haven't terminated. They haven't terminated. Sorry, Judge.
No, they haven't terminated. But they become eligible for their retirement 3 years earlier than they would have in the absence of the legislation.
I would think, Judge, under 287, 845, which Justice Breckinridge brought up when we talked about it and I read it, I would think that the key would be what would be in effect, the law in effect at the time of the termination of service.
Exactly. So that the fact that he's not terminated means that they can grant him this extra benefit, if you want to call it that. I mean, I would call it that because you're able to retire 3 years earlier than
the age,
you
yes,
were.
Yes, sir. The age at which that ALJ would retire, at when he retires or she retires, they would look at the law at that time, and that would be controlled.
If we agreed with your opponent's position, would that require the overruling of Cleveland?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. I think Cleveland is on point in this case that this is an ALJ, that was a judge, extra compensation. Section 33 and was raised in that case as well. And this court held in 1975 and bond that it was an award of extra compensation, as it also did in the Kansas City police retirement case the same year. And there's also a case about the Eastern District Court of Appeals, the St. Louis Police Officer Retirement System case that's on point with this. There's three cases in the jurisprudence in Missouri.
So was that precedent in the 1975 case and the police case that other pension funds, the police retirement in St. Louis or other places, the fire retirement or all followed? So the reverse Cleveland and reverse the police officer's case would certainly disrupt every other pension in the state.
Yes, they would all fall. That's what you have in front of you. That's what you're facing.
If the law specified that people who had left the system but hadn't reached the age of 62 would be eligible for that, would the law to that extent be unconstitutional under your theory? Would it?
I believe it would, Judge. I like to think about it, but I think that's correct.
In other words, what we have here is a provision that doesn't say whether it applies to people who have left state employ but have not reached age 62.
Well, I would go back for guidance. The way I see it, Judge, I would go to 287.845. That would be, to me, the best guidance I could give you, and for me, that's how I would analyze it.
But your argument is that once you're no longer giving service, you can't allow someone greater compensation. So I think it would follow into your constitutional argument, at least, that the legislature could not pass such a statute without violating the if I follow your constitutional argument.
I think
correctly.
That's the way Judge Callahan came out as well. I have nothing further. For any questions I can answer, I'd be pleased to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So why should we reverse all this stuff?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Why should we reverse all this other law from 1975? Because your client wants the money, I assume, but any other good reason?
Your Honor, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit hard of hearing.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, why should we reverse Cleveland and the police officer's case in this instance.
Yeah, I don't think that you have to reverse Cleveland or the public, the police retirement system case. You can distinguish them. You can distinguish Cleveland on the basis that Cleveland involved a retired judge who never had a pension, number one. Number two, the distinction, the argument that I'm making now and that Moses made in the Pulitzer case and that the Arizona court adopted was not raised before the Cleveland court. The distinction between trust fund money on the one hand and general revenue money on the other hand just simply was not raised.
Is the trust fund not public money?
No. No, Your Honor, it's not public money.
What is it then?
It's true that Moser is a component of the state, but it is not, the money that Moser has is not public money because under 104.436, that sets out where Moser gets its money. And it's not public money, it's not general revenue money. This is what Moser itself said.
So you're equating public money with general revenue. Is there any place that, I'm looking for help from the parties in figuring out what this word means, and usually they don't. The Constitution and statutes don't use different words to mean exactly the same thing. So I presume it's something somewhat different than general revenue. But what is it?
I think the best help, Your Honor, is from Moser's itself in the Pulitzer case. They say they don't use the term compensation, but they use the term remuneration, and they say that salaries and severance payments are remuneration paid directly from public funds, but pension benefits are not. They also say that salaries and severance payments come from public coffers, but the severance payments, but the pension benefits do not.
But there's nothing in our case law or statutes or other than an argument of a party that would support that.
True. No Missouri court has addressed this specific issue. That's correct. But the Arizona court did, and that site, Wisconsin court. Just in closing, Your Honor, I want to mention one point. I don't want to be too critical, but in this case, Your Honor, the statute was passed in 1999. Judge Sinhold turned 62 in June 2005. Between 2000 and 2005, as Judge Callahan found several times, Moser's told Judge Sinhold, you're going to get your money, you're going to be able to retire when you're 62. 9 days before he was 62, they said, guess what, we were wrong. Does that mean that they're legally compelled to pay Judge Sinhold? No, but I do think that it's manifestly unjust, and I think that there are principal bases on which this court can hold the statute constitutional. The court should hold the statute constitutional.
Thank you very much.